Today, we're going to talk about a couple of things. Caitlin Clark, taxes, and stupid shit realtors say.
That alone could probably be its own.
Man, that is a CTR hook if I've ever heard one. How you doing today, Brian?
I'm great. Are we interviewing the mouse? We are not. Okay.
Boom! The mouse is gone. You see that? It disappeared like...
Magic.
I was trying to think of something else, but I couldn't really think of anything.
I'm excited to talk about your drink because I've seen the dog.
The dog!
For a couple months, actually. And
yeah.
The dog finally makes a show appearance. So tell us about the puppy.
Little Xolo Escuintle, which is the Mexican dog. I don't know if there's an American dog.
There probably is.
Well, Google that. Let us know in the comments what the American dog is. But this is the Mexican dog, the Xolo Escuintle. I'll try to spell that. If you spell it right in the comments without Googling it, you win
nothing
at all. But this is made by my friend Ernie. He's got an incredible brand. This is the French Oak aged tequila, which has been French Oak. I've had a lot to drink tonight, so I can't tell you how long, but
it's okay.
It's really good, and the dog is really cool, and the dog is going to be staring at you and looking directly into your soul.
Judging you.
The entire show. So if you're doing something wrong, this puppy's going to know. What are you drinking?
Wait, what type of tequila is it? I don't think you mentioned that.
It's an extra annual.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. French Oak. I think 6 years or something. I don't know. Don't quote me on anything tonight.
So I don't know when this episode will actually appear on YouTube and our listening audience, but the Brickyard 400 is this weekend. So today's beer is from Chili Water, which is here in Indiana.
Okay.
It's called 500 Miles High, a light American lager. I think I bought it close to the Indy 500, but it's a good racing themed light beer.
Redneck weekend right here. and speaking of redneck weekend, if you're excited about tequila, you need to go to the tequilareport.com/subscribe and sign up. 62,000 people currently get the Tequila Report in their email every week. Why don't you? If you like learning about tequila, just go there, sign up. It's free. I think you'll enjoy it. And let's have some French oak aged amazing tequila.
That's right.
That smells like a barrel. Did you smell it?
I did. The thing I find that appeals to me about añejos is it's close to bourbon. It gives me the same kind of warm feel that bourbon does.
Yeah.
Similar taste, in my opinion.
Are you needing a warm feel?
No.
Okay.
Weather outside has cooled off, so I do appreciate that.
But. Dude, it feels like winter. I'm not a fan. I like summer. I want the 90s to come back. I like the heat. And talking about the heat, let's lean that into the fever. Then let's talk about how, for some reason, the best female basketball player, Caitlin Clark, and I don't care if you don't think she is, I believe she is.
She's terrific.
She gets treated like shit. And why?
I actually don't know why. You know, she's getting a reputation for being a baby, which is hard to argue with when you see some of her reactionary antics on the court.
But when you get punched in the throat.
Exaggerated. I mean, the woman putting her fist on Caitlin's throat wasn't a punch, but still, I'm sure it didn't feel good. And how that got missed, I don't know. But that sort of, I'm not going to say it wasn't a big deal beforehand, but that really blew the whole controversy up because there was no foul call in the moment.
And it was a throw punch.
There was no repercussions to that player during the game. And it was afterwards when all of the bitching and moaning came about from the fever and from players. And I think it was warranted. But then the league suspended that player for a game. And so
now a game.
Like, oh, she's getting, you know, preferential treatment. It's funny to think back to the 80s and the days of Bird and Lambeer and all the literal punches that they would throw. And no one would maybe get a technical. That was about it. But
the last time you watched a soccer player fly on the floor for no apparent reason of any kind, like, she got punched in the throat.
She gets a lot of hard fouls against her. And I think part of the issue is she is scrutinized all the time. So she's always under watch.
Right.
And so, you know, when you see some players, you know, maybe get an elbow, maybe get, you know, shoved, bump, whatever you want to call it, it's either a play on or it becomes a foul or whatever, but it's not blown up. But because she's under such a microscope, every time she gets knocked down, it's like, well, was that intentional? Is that being too rough? Are the referees missing the calls? It's a hard, I don't know. What makes it interesting for us is that we are, for those of us who care about the sport, we are in the center of it because Caitlin plays here in Indy.
Right.
You know, outside, man, I grew up in the world of Michael Jordan. You know, he was central to.
But if you'd have punched Michael Jordan in the throat, people would have gone crazy.
Not back in the 80s and the 90s, it wouldn't. That's actually what I was talking about with Bird and Lambeer was guys were much more rough in the 80s and it would just be a foul. Now you get booted from the game. So anyways, the microscope that she is under just exacerbates the whole thing. And she's not helping her cause. After that happened, the next game, I was watching a slow-mo replay. And that's another thing is slow-mo replays make a lot of things look significantly worse. But she overreacted to something and got a foul called because of it on the player. And when you look at the slow-mo replay of it, she was hardly fouled at all. But she blew it up into being a big thing. And again, that just feeds into the narrative of, well, she's a big whiny crybaby and she needs to just shut up and play.
Yeah, but you think about all of the sports where you flop or you take a hit or you make it, the other person get in trouble, right? Like, that's part of being
every
a good
sport. Has it.
Right, but if somebody's being extra hard on, and I will say this, I'm not a big WNBA, I'm not an NBA person, you know that. I'm not a big basketball person. I have watched some of the WNBA, and it seems like these girls are like hitting on each other really, not.
I know what you mean.
They're like really going.
It's a physical game.
It's a very physical game, more so than the guys' game.
No, that's not.
The guys are just like, hey, and then I'm going to dribble and take 17 steps and slam the ball.
That's some NBA bullshit.
But it doesn't seem like they're really being brutal.
In the men's game?
Yeah.
Disagree.
Maybe I don't watch enough, but it seems to me they're like, hey, watch it. You're going to mess up my Patek
Philippe.
Well,
and to be honest, it's sexist because, yes, it does happen in the NBA. And some of it gets scrutinized depending on who it is. But it's not blown out of proportion, in my opinion. You put it into the context of the WNBA, and it gets blown out of proportion.
So you're saying the females are just going all female and being over emotional?
I don't blame the players, actually. I blame the media and the sensational, you know, nature of the media and blowing things out of proportion that don't need to be.
I guess I watch guys like LeBron James, who I think is probably the biggest baby in the NFL, in the NBA. Like,
absolutely.
Good Lord, dude. Like, just retire and move to the nursing home. Quit crying. Like, and then they call him, you know, the god of, you know, of basketball. And I just think he acts like a big baby. And then these women are taking punches to the throat.
You know what's an interesting thing that, well, I'm going to say it's going to happen to Caitlin. She's about to get suspended.
Because she's being so emotional.
There is a WNBA rule, and I think it's in the NBA as well. When you get a certain number of technical fouls, it's an automatic one-game suspension. And last night she got technical foul number 7 and one more, and she is automatically suspended, which is a detriment to the team. So she's letting her team down. And I get it. She's an emotional person. No, that you can't just turn that off. So she's a competitor. She plays hard. And, you know, there's an expectation that she has for, you know, how the game's going to go. And when the referees don't call stuff, she gets pissed off. She lets them know. She gets a technical foul because of it.
So she gets a technical foul. She gets kicked out of the game and she has to drive home in her Toyota Corolla.
Probably. Yeah.
And then LeBron James stubs his toe and his shoe comes untied. He cries like a bitch. And then the person that is supposed to put his seatbelt on in the back of his Rolls Royce isn't allowed to do that. He has to do it himself. Is that what you're saying?
Could be.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a basketball fan at all. And I will say I'll take the WNBA over the NBA all day long. In fact, today I'm going to put it right here on the show. Man. If they said the NBA is canceled and we're no longer allowed to have the NBA and it's out of business.
Uh-huh.
It would hurt my feelings. Like if Iran became America.
That's That's a very odd comparison.
Well, I wouldn't care, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if Iran became glass and the NBA was gone, I'd be like, okay, well, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense.
Move on to another day.
Exactly.
Sadly, I loved the NBA when I was a kid, and easy to do.
It was cool when you were a kid. You lived in Chicago, land. Yeah.
But I don't know, the 2000s, 2010 and beyond, honestly, it's just gone, in my opinion, to shit.
Yeah,
and
it's garbage.
It's just not as appealing to watch.
And I have to say this, I wasn't a huge NBA fan back in the day, and Michael Jordan was pretty cool, but I really liked watching the Circus Soleil that was Dennis Rodman. I thought Dennis Rodman made basketball like worth watching. He was amazing at what he did. One of the best at his he did.
Absolutely.
Yet a complete circus clown.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he used that to his advantage. It was all, you know, a show for a reason.
So freaking cool. And the story of how he met his agent is even cooler.
I don't know that story.
So playing in Vegas, craps, I think, was what they were playing.
Okay.
And this young guy said, hey, Rodman, you know, look, I'm a new agent, and I think I could really change your whole, image. Your whole life and your image and everything. And I think we should do a deal where you come with me, I'll sign as your agent, and we'll make the first production-based contract that we've ever seen in the NBA. So instead of saying you need $10 million to play, you're going to play for a couple million bucks. But you're going to make money for every technical foul that you get, for every rebound that you get, for every block that you get, for every score that you get. And because he was so good at what he did, and I believe it was defending.
Defense, right? And rebounds.
So defense and rebounds, he made more money than most people in the NBA because his contract was based on how many rebounds, how many scores. He even got paid on when he got technical fouls.
Huh.
And it was part of his contract. So that agent became extremely famous as an agent because he wrote one of the first production-based contracts. Not just you get so much to play for the team, but you get X amount of play for the team and so much more. And now today, I do believe, I could be completely wrong. I could be as wrong as what the archaeologists say about Egypt. But I think you make more money today with a production-based contract because of Dennis Rodman. And then Dennis didn't care that he was like this crazy guy.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care. I'm going to get more rebounds than anybody else. I just want to make another $1 million.
And if he got paid for technicals.
He got paid for technicals. Like, that was a thing in his contract.
I have never heard that story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You have to. And it's a young guy. Like, the guy that met him at the craft
store. What?
Not now. No. But back then, he was like a 20-year-old agent. Like, just like getting his feet in the ground. And when you Google him, I believe he ended up signing lots of the top people.
Well, I bet he did.
Now, when you look at even the NFL, you have a lot of production-based contracts. Yep. That's not based on, we're going to give you this much to play, but we're going to give you this much to play, but this much to score, this much to do these things, blah, 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 blah. That's, don't you wish we got paid that way in our business?
I do. What are we based on?
Like every freaking cold call that you turn into a buyer, you get an extra bonus.
Ooh, all right.
Or yeah, views. Like views. We would make, like if we got paid for every view, let's say we got a $1 for every view, we would split $100.
Woo!
Wow. That'd be amazing.
Big money, no whammies.
No whammies. Phenomenal. All right. What else were we going to talk about? We said,
okay, so
Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
Taxes. And stupid shit realtors.
So people here in Indiana have been hearing something about possibility of property taxes being taken away.
Oh.
The governor is trying to make a push to eliminate property tax.
How amazing would that be? You talk about affordability of owning your home. Like, how good would that be?
What would it affect?
Let's see. Schools, which I think are way overpaid today. Not the teachers, but the actual administrations.
Okay.
And how much money they spend in building, you know, $12 million pool facilities. And we've got some.
That's gone out of control.
We have some football fields in Indiana that the Colts could play at.
Absolutely.
And we're not running, you know, NBA NBA like growth leagues and NBA growth leagues and NFL growth leagues. We're just supposed to be sending kids to learn the what are the three?
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Oh yeah, I did not hear football, basketball, wrestling, track. No,
you did
baseball,
not.
None of that, because sports is only supposed to be a
activity,
an extracurricular. Right? Yeah, but we really focus on those. So maybe we should cut back the spending there, and maybe we should make it to where we actually spend money on education.
That would be nice.
Maybe we should pay the teachers more and less on the other shit.
There are different they're different funds.
Right. So maybe we should make them the same fund.
No.
We do that on purpose.
I feel that we should just fund some of those other things less, in my opinion.
Well, I say give the firemen money to be firemen instead of the firemen money to be basketball players. Give policemen money to be policemen instead of policemen to be basketball players. And let's give schools money to teach kids instead of schools, instead of growing sports.
And that's, you know, if you take away the property taxes, well, you know, that tax money pays for a lot of our services government-wise.
You can pick teachers, those up in other things. Other states don't police. Have tax.
Okay, I'm aware. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know how all of that plays out. Where does that money come from? You know, I'm just looking at it like, is that really the best way to go?
Well, let's look at it this way. So how old are you?
74. Right.
And how many kids do you have in school?
Zero.
So how much money do you think your tax dollars should go to school, since you no longer participate or use from that
you know,
process?
Okay. This actually came up with some clients I was out with today. Mm-hmm. They're an older couple. And he wasn't all that happy about having to pay taxes because he's like, we're funding schools. He goes, why am I funding schools? I don't have any kids in school anymore.
Right.
And his wife said, well, you know, when we were going through having kids in school, older people were paying for our kids to do that. So it's, you know, basically it's kind of your turn, you know, returning the favor.
What about when you're 84 and your taxes have gone up so much that now you no longer can afford your home because that's some referendum to build a new basketball field?
That's a problem.
Basketball field, football field.
Nailed it. Either way.
Now causes to where you have to sell your home because you can't afford your property taxes.
That's a problem.
We live in a country where we say that we own property, but we really don't own property. We just rent it from the government.
That's where I, you know, was going to kind of slide this conversation. Is one of the proposals that I have heard has to do with those who have their properties paid off to not have to pay property taxes.
Hmm. Ding, ding, ding.
I think that makes
sense. That's a great idea because like, you're not going to pay any taxes.
I mean, yes, it does benefit me.
I'm not paying any taxes.
But it makes a lot of sense because you've paid all this money, and while you're going through the process of paying off your house, for those who can't just pay cash for it straight up, right? You know, you're paying taxes along the way. And now, all right, well, I'm done paying for it. Why am I still paying taxes for this? So that I can get behind that one. Unless I can hear like what the actual plan is for completely abolishing property taxes and where the money is going to come from to pay for the services that we need, I'm not necessarily in favor of just getting rid of it altogether.
You know what? Indiana right now is a $4 billion surplus.
I heard that.
Okay. So if we have a $4 billion surplus, let's figure out how to. Now, part of that comes from the fact that we have a governor, and we had a governor before that have really been tax conscious. Let's say we have AOC as our governor.
Well, she doesn't live here, but okay.
Let's say she moved. Let's say Mandani moved here and wants to make everything free, grocery stores and buses and all these things free. Now we're not going to have that surplus.
Big generalization.
It is, but think about what's going on in that state right now. You have money leaving New York City. And the governor actually had the gall to say to the billionaires that are moving out of New York, please come back. We now need you. Right?
Well, that's the governor. It's not the same person we're talking about.
Yeah, governor and the mayor. Because then where do most of the people live that have money in New York City?
New York City,
right. So when all the billionaires start leaving because of what the mayor's doing there and the governor says, please come back. We can't pay for the services anymore. So when you think about where we are in Indiana, we have a couple of governors in a row that have built up a surplus. Going all the way back to Mitch, right? He built up a surplus as well. In fact, to give the other side a little credit, Evan Bayh had a surplus as well when Evan Bayh left office. O'Bannon spent that surplus, but there was one when Governor Vila. So as long as we stay with some fiscal, you know, guidelines and we live within a budget like you do, like I do, you and I figure out what we can spend and what we can't. You didn't pull up today in a Ferrari.
I did not.
Right. Because why? Because you would need more money from somebody else if you pulled up in a Ferrari.
Go into debt.
So if we can figure out how to run a fiscal government and eliminate some of the taxes for the people who live in this city, whether it be gas taxes, which is 62 cents a gallon that is waived all the way up until August 7th. That's helped Indiana have some of the lowest gases in the United States. And
true.
65 or 67 cents a gallon waived right now. So if we could get rid of property taxes, if we could get rid of sales taxes, if we could get rid of some of those taxes, there's many states that don't have property tax, don't have sales tax. Some states don't even have.
Are there states that don't have both?
Yeah.
If you
go to Florida, they're about to get rid of property taxes and they have no state income tax and their tax comes from tourist tax sales tax. If you go to Nevada, you don't have property tax or sales tax. It all comes from taxes that are erased from gambling.
And tourists.
Yeah, which is the tourist. Yeah. So there's a lot of states. You know, Texas has some of the lowest property taxes that you have and no sales tax at all. Then you look at Michigan, which I'm doing a loan for right now, where their property taxes are almost three times what they are here in Indiana.
Wow.
And their actual income tax is higher. And if you've ever driven there, the roads are complete shit. It's like driving over popcorn. But look who's in charge. You have to look at who's in charge of those states and figure out, okay, what's going to work best for me.
What struck me as weird about, and I understand they're different funds, the $4 billion surplus that we have, yet there was a controversial, excise tax, vehicle tax that was being proposed. Now that was
Marion County.
Was Marion County.
Right.
Though Greenwood just passed it too. And so I'm like, all right, well, if our state has all this money,
counties.
I know.
That's
counties like and I cities said,
not spending it right.
Like I said, it's different funds and all of that. It's like, why can't we all figure all this out together?
I mean, keep in mind, in Hancock County, I did not spend $15,000 in fixing my car from a pothole that I hit in Marion County. Because when you get into Hancock County, the roads aren't as bad as Marion County. Mm-hmm. Well, what's Marion County's issue? Well, they probably spend too much money in other services or waste money in other areas.
Waste is probably a good...
Marion County has a good word for a waste. Yeah, exactly. I'm never moving to Marion County. I don't even like to shop in Marion County. You live in Marion County, don't you? Just on the edge, though. You're a stone throw away to the other county. The roads are better.
Mm.
Drive from Marion County and then drive in Marion County. You're like on the outskirts.
I definitely am.
All right. So let us hear your bitches about politics. That'd be a good one.
Gee, that'd be fun.
That's a deep dig. We might get 1,000 new followers just from that bitch. And the other one we were going to talk about was stupid shit realtors say.
Yeah.
But it's not really realtors. It's realtors and mortgage people.
So back when I started in 2020, pandemic real estate.
Rates for zero.
Which then turned into 2021 and rates, you know, were down depending on who you talk to, depending on your finances. What was the lowest one you ever gave out?
I wrote for my daughter a 30-year fix on a condo at 2.1%.
Okay. So 2.1%.
With no points.
To, you know, maybe 4%.
3% was probably the worst in the day.
I feel like if you had anything over 4%, people were like, what are you doing?
We had shit credit. Yeah.
So, you know, people were refinancing like crazy. And, you know, myself being a realtor and new to the game, easily influenced by things I heard, something made a lot of sense back in 2021, which was marry the house, date the rate.
Oh, you can refinance. No worries.
Exactly. Because then, you know, as the rates started to creep up as we got into the end of 2022 and end of 2023 and so on, oh my gosh, well, that 3.5% interest rate was now closer to 5, closer to 5.5.
7.
And so, you know, it became, you know, marry the house, date the rate with the idea that, okay, you're only going to have this rate for a short time. It's not forever.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, you get the house that you want. ideally.
You can refinance.
And when rates come down, you could go ahead and refinance. As if, you know, and I do, while I don't admire myself for saying that over and over again back in the day. It made sense at the time. But I do know that the things I did say at the time did come with the asterisk of there's no promise rates are coming down or when they will come down. But eventually, you know, as kind of trends happen, they do eventually come down. So where are we at now?
Well, we're cruising back up to the sevens.
Ah, I read a headline today. We're at an 11-month high, I believe.
10-year treasuries over 4.7. And, I fell into the same trap.
Sure.
You know, I would say things like interest rates usually run in a 3 to 5 year cycle. They're cyclical. But when you look back over time, it's a true statement. When rates got up to 7, they came down to 6. When rates got up to 7, they came down to 5. When rates got up to 7, they came down to 6. When rates got up to 7, they came down to 5. It was very common to have a 3 year cycle of 7 to 5. Remember, I got in the business in 1997 at interest rate and a half. And the first time I seen rates at 6% was in around 2005. So if you look at rates at 6% in 2005, so when was the last time before that rates were that low?
Wasn't it like was it the 70s?
1971 rates were 7.5.
Yeah.
7.5. And rates went up from 1971 to 10, 12, 18, 23. And we didn't see rates back down to 7.5 till literally 1997, 1998, 1999. So we're telling people as rates came from 2 to 3 to 4, hey, don't worry, rates will come down to a phenomenal level they've never been before. And I make the joke, stupid shit realtors say, it's really not going to realtors. I say that to get to headlines, right?
Sure.
To get people to listen. But it's really the fact that we got so used to this incredibly low rate for 2 years, and that as we've seen that, home prices grew faster than they've ever grown in history. Do you really want rates to be 3% today? And I have buyers that go, yeah. And I was like, well, you don't realize that the $380,000 house you're looking at today would be probably $480,000. Because so many people would be in the market to buy that we would drive the housing prices so high that the affordability problem would be so much more of an affordability problem. So rates in the 6% are comfortable, normal, and average.
Yeah, actually below average.
6.875 is the 50-year average.
Okay, thank you.
Freddie Mac, 50-year average.
All right.
Yeah, Google that. Put that in Perplexity or ChatGPT, especially if you're really pissed about data centers. You really don't want a data center.
Definitely use ChatGPT.
Put it
ChatGPT.
In ChatGPT and look that up.
It'll be stored in a data
print you out somewhere. A sign that says no data centers out there. Put that in your yard.
I saw a headline today about Bezos and Elon Musk talking about data centers in space.
It's going to happen.
Like, what?
There's actually
are we doing them on satellites?
SpaceX is actually sending the first ever robot into space. And that robot is going to learn to the moon. And that robot is going to learn how to build things on the moon. They're going to build things on the moon autonomously.
If
you don't have SpaceX stock, if you were able to buy the last ever 2026 Plaid X Tesla, which came from the Fairmount factory,
okay,
which is no longer making Teslas. They're only going to make robots, which are going to help you unplunge your toilet, make your bed, and build data centers in space.
I'm in favor of throwing them into space. Build some data centers up there. Let's go.
You want to build a house up there?
Honestly, no.
The atmosphere sucks. I mean, what we're seeing today, the more I dive into all of this AI stuff, and we talked about it a little bit on the last time of, did the pyramids really get made with people with chisels? I think we're in an age where the next 10 years are going to be more advanced in 10 years from today than what we've seen in the last 100 years.
I do not doubt it.
Yeah, it's going to be blown away. And I just seen a thing today. Did you know that there is, this is going back to that whole, did they make it with chisels thing? So if you go back. You have to Google this stuff. I've seen so many of these things that there are. I don't want to say towns, but fuck, I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Civilizations
that have built these incredible areas within a mountain in India.
Okay.
Where they've cut an entire mountain out. Have you seen these?
No.
Okay. See that?
Okay.
So literally cut out of the side of a mountain. Now, here's what's missing. All of the rock that they cut out of it. Thousands and thousands of tons of rock.
Yeah.
Right? And these are civilizations that were roughly 200 to 400,000 tons of rock chiseled away. And these are back like 10,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, chisels. When they only had chisels.
Chisels.
Okay, so how do you say that?
Kailasa Temple?
Yeah. Okay, so when you look at some of these old-timey things, when I say old-timey, I don't mean like...
Ancient.
Yeah, I don't mean like, hey, we're going to the speakeasy, see?
Yes, like, correct.
So this temple, what's it called?
Kailasa.
Kailasa Temple that was located in... Do that one.
Maharashtra... Nah, yeah, I got nothing.
Yeah, so this is in the 8th century, right? Chiseled away nearly 200,000 to 400,000 tons of rock.
Chisel.
To leave this whole temple.
Uh-huh. And then, in the middle of a mountain.
And they left no piles of rock anywhere else. Not like, hey, guys, here's a free pile over here. Like, come get it. This is, like, cleaned out. And they had chisels? Like, we're supposed to believe that. We're supposed to believe that, like, I just climbed out of my cave, dragging my wife by the hair to kill a mammoth, to cook it over this new thing called fire.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to chisel out a temple.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
No. So I want to know what your thoughts are on this stuff. We're going to probably dive into this a little more. We may even try to find like someone on the show that understands how,
oh man,
like some of these mythological stories.
Please find us an archaeologist. Please.
Wait, okay, so here's my thoughts on archaeology.
We're going to have Dr. Jones on the show, just not that
Dr. Jones, yeah. How's the song go?
I don't recall.
Okay, so here's my thought on archaeologists. And you weigh into this.
All right.
Let's say you're a 25-year-old archaeologist.
Okay.
And you go to that place. And you're sitting in the dust with your little broom.
That's right.
You're cleaning off this thing. And you think, this is older than what I think it is.
And the archaeologists are using little chisels and hammers to just break away pieces of rock. And they got to be thinking to themselves, how the hell did they build this huge pyramid?
How did they carve this with mountain? This? With this? This is advanced. This is a diamond chip.
For real, right? Yeah.
So then you go back to your professor and you say, I don't think this is 9,000 years old. I think this is 30,000 years old. And your professor, your tenured professor, who's going to be proven wrong, and everybody before him is going to be proven wrong, says, nah. What do you ruin your career?
I would feel that if you're in that world and you want to make that assertion that it wasn't really built with chisels and hammers, that they're going to make you come up with some sort of proof. I mean, you can make a logical assertion. It seems illogical that it was hammers and chisels and bare hands. But unless you have proof otherwise, here's what we got. We found the hammers and chisels.
But even if you start to find the proof, that 10-year years of where the money comes from, the grants are coming from these people who have this belief, right?
Yeah.
They're going to go, no. And if you want to talk about that, no, right? Like I listened to a podcast today that they said these pillars seem to be made on a lathe. They seemed to be made on a lathe that didn't exist. But like, well, what if the lathe exists? But to go the further part and say, no, they had technology we don't know about, we can't say that because all of that people who are in charge, right? Like if we learn, think of it this way in college, right? You have all of these professors that have this thing, this is how math works. But let's say you're 23 years old and you go, wait, math doesn't work like that at all. All of these professors at all of these universities, you don't have to tell them they're wrong.
Yeah.
Tenured professors whose lives is based on this is the truth. None of them are going to let you say they're wrong. And if it's, and if there's any funding involved,
they're going to shut you down.
Right. So
absolutely.
Maybe the problem is that we use ego and finances to teach us what history is about. And maybe we could learn more about history if we removed education, history, and finance.
Interesting.
Because now somebody that found something new wouldn't be afraid of their career being completely ruined.
But I suppose if you remove, especially the finance portion of it, does anyone go into that profession to look for?
Maybe not. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe you need somebody like Elon Musk, who's kind of bucked the system all the way along. You know, oh, you can't do that. He's like, ta-da. But we hate you. Ta-da. Like every time, like he gives us that moment. Maybe we need someone like that to go, when did civilization really start? And throw this money where he doesn't care what the answer is. And then now the funding comes from an independent source that's not backed by archaeology and education.
Yeah.
To where somebody comes up with something completely different. And I read a thing a couple of weeks ago about somebody that said this was the oldest things have ever been and this was the truth. And then they proved him wrong. They showed this place was found to be 11,000 years old.
Okay.
And it has something to do with the clove people. I don't know. I don't want to. Sure. I'll be wrong if I say it. But but then he got the person that said this completely discredited and out of funding. Okay. And then someone eventually proved him wrong. And then he was discredited. And this older theory came along. And now they found, okay, well, maybe things were actually older than what we thought. So what if that happened? What if we had somebody that came in and went, maybe shit's different than what we really know? How do we adopt the ability to learn something different?
That's a really good idea. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, it happening.
I agree.
Yeah.
Tell us what you think. What's a really good idea to learn something freaking different other than drinking tequila aged in a barrel and put it in this
beautiful puppy?
Hello, puppy. There's your puppy. Tell us what you think of these shows. We're probably going to do more of these. We're going to still have guests. We're still going to have compelling people to tell you how to be successful. But we also want to push the boundaries of your mind and make you think about things that could be outside of your normal thinking.
And what are you bitching about?
Bitch about something, because we all do. Cheers. Have a great
night. See you next time on Indiana Success Happy Hour. Cheers.
Maybe the Indiana Bitch Happy Hour.
It's Brian and Brad. Grab your seat. Real talk served with a boozy beat. Estate makes us drink.